So we've been talking about the distinctives of Christian assembly, and the Lord told us to go and kind of revisit the cornerstones, the markers of this church, the things that makes us a little bit unique from the rest of the church. And we've been doing that as we've been going through this transition, a pastoral transition from me to Brett. And today I want to talk about another one of those things, and what I want to talk to you about is prayer today. If you have ever looked at our vision, or if you know what the vision is for Christian Assembly Church, is to glorify God. That's our vision. By knowing Him, by becoming like Him, and by making Him known to others. And so I want to talk to you about the knowing Him part. We further describe that, if you look on our website, as reading and studying the Bible, prayer and worship. And we've talked about reading the Bible. We did that some last week. We talked about worship, the singing part of what we do. Today I want to talk to you about the prayer part of that. In Isaiah 56, verses 5 through 7, it's the Lord says this. He says, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And foreigners, speaking of Gentiles, us people, most of us, some of you are not, but most of us, and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain. Listen, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. That's God's intention. And that's the church He's talking about when all these Gentiles are grafted in to the people of God. That's the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who have been around CA a long time, you may recognize that phrase, that we are a house of prayer for all peoples. It was one of Paul Gordon's favorite phrases to describe who we are. It's one of the things that makes us different. You're going to say, what? You're a church. Of course you pray. Let me explain to you that CA is a little bit different than a lot of other churches in that regard. Yes, all churches pray, I hope. But prayer is one of the marks of this church that really sets us apart. I know this because I hang out with a lot of pastors and I hang out with a lot of people in other churches. In Matthew 21:13, even in Jesus' day, if we're supposed to be a house of prayer for all people, even in Jesus' day, the people of God were turning that house into something else. And Jesus said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. Do you know one of the reasons that the church doesn't have very much impact in our culture today? It's because people look at the church, and many times that's what they see as a den of robbers, instead of a house of prayer for all people. It's the reason we have a bad reputation in the world. I was at a meeting a few years ago, and there was a community activist there, not a Christian. And we were talking about East Durham and what needed to be done for the revitalization of East Durham. And this community activist said, well, the first thing we ought to do is we ought to start taxing all these churches because they own all this property in East Durham and they're not giving back one single thing to the community. They're not one help. All they do is draw out of it. And I sat there for a second and I thought, you know what? I'd have a hard time disputing that. And we're worried about our tax exemption. We're supposed to be a house of prayer for all people. And I'll tell you, by God's grace, that's not who we are at CA. When I travel around our city and when I run into people, no matter what part of the town I'm in, they know Christian Assembly. And they know us by the works that we do. They know us by our food pantry. They know us by the drive-through Christmas. They know us because we're engaged in the community. They know us because we're at the forefront of a lot of prayer rallies and things that go on here in the city. People know Christian Assembly, and it's not just because we're taking up space and not paying taxes. Prayer is really important to us. And if you've been here any length of time, you know this, because we start every meeting with announcements. Thank you, Ben. You did a good job on your maiden voyage today. Okay. We start every meeting with announcements, and then what's the next thing that we do? We pray. And we pray for kind of a long time compared to what you might think might happen. We pray for our outreach. We pray, you know, Jesus told us the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord will of the harvest will send more laborers into the field. We pray for an outreach focus for the Great Commission. We pray for our city. We pray for our nation, as the Bible also instructs us. We pray for the sick. And we pray for God's presence and leading as we then enter into the songs of worship and the Word. Now, if you've visited other churches, you would probably recognize that that's different. And when people visit here, they notice that sort of thing. You know, that when we start off, we have announcements. They're used to that. Okay. But then there's this kind of extended time of prayer. What is that all about? Right? It's different. That's just one of the distinctives that we have at Christian Assembly. And why is that? Well, in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul is giving Timothy, his son in the Lord, instructions for the churches, because Timothy is now the one who is becoming the apostle and going along and planting churches and putting elders in those churches. And so he's giving him the manual, if you will. This is what the churches need to be doing, Timothy. And he says this: First of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This praying, first of all of this, is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We open in prayer the way that we do because of obedience to this instruction. And it's our privilege and our pleasure to do that. We pray early and we pray often because we understand that God moves on our prayers. When we pray as His children, it moves God the Father's heart. He loves it when His children pray. Let me ask you something, parents. How would you feel if you could observe your children every hour of every day, young and old? Okay, but you recognize God does that, right? Okay? How would you feel if like for the rest of your life you were observing your children every hour of every day, but in all of that they hardly ever spoke to you? How would that make you feel as a parent? And even when you tried to get their attention and you repeatedly let them know that you want to talk with them, they still ignored you. How would you feel if they never ever shared their heart with you? Never let you in on their joys and their sorrows, or their hopes and fears, their dreams, their failures, their desires and their disappointments. How would you feel as a parent if you never had those conversations with your kids? And even when they did occasionally speak to you, "Hi Mom, hi Dad," it was only to try to convince you to give them something that you have that they want. How would you feel as a parent? And even though you love them and they're trying to get something from you, and you're willing to give them everything that you have, at the same time that they're asking, you know that they don't have the ability, they don't have the maturity, and they don't have the discipline to handle the consequences of giving them what they're asking for means. They don't get that. Be like if your 9-year-old came to you and you had the ability to do this, and your 9-year-old came to you and said, "Dad, I want a fully weaponized fighter jet." Well, son, I happen to own one of those, but it'd be like your daughter wanting to bring home this nice little wolf that's just so cute. But you know that one day it's going to try to kill her. "But Daddy, he's so cute. I really want him." And as a dad, your heart is torn by that. You want to give your children what they want, but you know sometimes that's just not the wise thing to do, because you've got to protect them. Do you understand how powerful prayer really is when we talk to our spiritual dad, our Father in heaven, who has everything? We may not understand how powerful the prayers of the children of God are, but you know who does? Our Father does. He understands that. Okay, I know the devil does. I don't care about him. Our Father understands how powerful those prayers are. In James 5, 13 through 16, there's an instruction there, and it says this: "If anyone among you is anyone among you suffering, well, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Listen to that. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. "Therefore, confess your sins," not just to the elders, "confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." This is not just an instruction that has to do with elders. "Pray for one another that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." That's really true. It does. Even science has recognized that prayer is powerful. They're a little slow on the uptake sometime. Sorry, scientists. But they're getting it. Back in 2001, a long time ago, the Duke Clinical Research Institute performed a pilot study, and of course, because it's Duke and they're post-Christian, they call it the Mantra Project, whatever. What they did was they took 150 heart patients and they randomized them into 5 groups. One group received the standard high-tech cardiac care, while each of the other groups also received one of 4 non-traditional therapies. They got cardiac care, but they also got something else. And those 4 of the therapies were imagery, which means you have to imagine that you're getting better all the time, okay? Stress relaxation, you'll get better if you know you can get rid of your stress. Touch therapy, you're going to get better because I'm touching you now, okay? And off-site intercessory prayer. Duke did this study. Congregations around the world, they prayed for that one group that they were given of heart patients to recover. And you know what the results were? That the patients who were prayed for had significantly better recovery rates than those who received the standard care or one of the other therapies. Empirical evidence. And the director said in the prayer therapy group, there was a little more than 50% overall reduction of negative outcomes and complications, meaning that more than 50% of those people who were being prayed for by people that didn't even know them from around the world, but they were praying for them by name, more than 50% of them got better than the rest of the control group. More than 50%. Some of those would have gotten better on their own probably without the prayer. Some would not. Prayer is powerful. Right after the Lord tells us that the prayer of a righteous person has much effect, he says this in James 5, 17 through 18. This is Paul talking. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Stop and think about that for just a second. Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, is a man with a nature like ours. Have you ever read about Elijah? What a cranky old geezer that guy was. Man, he was hard to get along with. Elijah, Elijah was a man with a nature like doves. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And he's just like us. That's what Paul is saying. He's no different, not a special person. He just prayed, and look what God did. And that's not just Old Testament stuff. When Peter and John were arrested for preaching Jesus and his resurrection while they were on the temple grounds, the church prayed and they were released. And then they went back and reported what happened to the church, and the church prayed with thanksgiving, and they prayed for boldness in the face of the threats that the authorities were making against them. And they prayed for miracles to happen in Jesus' name. And in Acts 4:31 it says, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, like a big earthquake. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now see, that's our heritage. And just like in the book of Acts, we at CA, we pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray for God's guidance in every aspect of our lives. We pray for our families. We pray for the life of the church. We pray for boldness in preaching the gospel. And you know what happens? God does miracles. That's what happens. This is one of the boundary markers, one of the things that makes CA who we are. Let me just tell you some of the ways that we pray. I will never forget on September the 11th, 2001, when those planes flew into those Twin Towers. It was, if you were alive at that time, you remember where you were, you remember what was going on, you remember the kind of just devastation that hit people, the shock. And here at this church, we opened the doors, put out a notice on television, radio, newspaper, well, not newspaper, television, radio. We didn't have the interweb back then. Facebook was not a thing. And but we put out the notice that we were open for prayer. And we were open. We stayed open for 48 solid hours, for two solid days. We had the doors open. We were here. We were praying for people. I will never forget it. People were just kept coming in off the street. They said, do we hear right? Is there prayer here? Yeah, there's prayer here. And we prayed for people. I prayed for airline attendants that had lost friends. I prayed for police officers. I prayed for people from the fire department because they had lost their companions going up into those towers. I prayed for average people. I prayed for mentally ill people. I prayed for all sorts of people. For two solid days, we kept the door open. There was a steady stream of people coming in here to pray. That's who we are. We're a house of prayer for all people. Every Sunday, of course, we pray at the beginning of the service, and we're going to pray at the end of the service today, too. We ask people if you need anything, if you want healing, anything from the Lord. We have people that are here to pray. We do that every week. When our benevolence team meets with people and they come here seeking help, they pray with whoever comes. On Tuesdays, we have Durham Ministers in Prayer, an organization that Paul helped found. And on Tuesday, there are several of us that go, and we pray with people from at least 40 other churches here in Durham. We're praying for the city of Durham. We hold citywide prayer meetings, and yeah, CA is always part of that. And other people always remark to me when we have those citywide prayer meetings, I can't believe how many folks from your church turn up at these things. It's because we believe in prayer. We help host the National Day of Prayer event every year, and our folks are there. On Wednesday nights, we've been praying for this pastoral transition, and before that, there's all for years now, led by Victor Ribbett over there, there's always been an intercessory team up here on Wednesday night praying. You see that little box right over there on the wall that says prayer request? You can put your prayer request in there anytime and know that on Wednesday night, they're going to be praying for you. There's always people praying on Wednesday nights. On Thursdays, we pray at the food pantry. Every person that comes to the food pantry gets to be prayed for. And over the years, we've seen amazing stuff happen. First of all, the loaves and fishes kind of miracles that keep happening at the food pantry so that we have food to give to people. But more than that, we've seen people healed of cancer. We've seen people who were lame who can walk again. We've seen people that had diabetes that don't have diabetes anymore. We've seen all sorts of things. We've seen people get saved. It just amazing stuff happens when we pray. We have a prayer chain at this church that Mary leads that goes 24/7. You can always get in touch with Mary and get a prayer out to the people that are on that prayer chain, and prayer will go on for you. I'd like a quick show of hands. How many of y'all have used the prayer chain and seen God answer your prayers? Look at that. Some of you are going, what's a prayer chain? How do I get there? Call Mary Bigelow or send her a text or send her an email. We have a strategic prayer team. There's about 20 people in this church. They don't even know each other. They don't know who they are. But when we have strategic needs for this church, I send them a message and they pray for the needs of this church. You wonder how God's favor is here and how we get the things done that we do. It's because we've got people praying strategically for this church all the time. Our pastors, our elders, our ministry leaders, I encourage them all to have personal intercessors. Some of you are my prayer partners, and I really appreciate that. We have small groups, and there's always prayer going on in those. Many of you have prayer partners individually. That you've got people that you call up and y'all pray for each other. Our elders have two meetings on Sundays generally. One is in the afternoon where we deal with the business of the church. One is every Sunday morning at 8:15. You know what we meet for? Prayer. That's what we do. And we pray for you. Every Sunday morning. Separate meetings. We don't do business at the early meeting. We pray. Acts 6, 3 and 4 says this, therefore, brothers, this is the apostles speaking to the church, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. That was the service in the among the people of God. Those are our deacons. But we, these were the apostles, and later they became the elders of the church. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I will never forget when we were in GCI, Grace Churches International, I was talking to the leader of the network. We were in Jamaica, and it was early one morning, and I was up, and I was outside enjoying the sunrise, and I was sitting out there, and I had the CA directory in my hand. He walked out. He sat down beside me. He said, what are you doing? Are you praying for them? I said, yes, and he said, well, you're going to have to stop doing that. Because his take was that's not what the leader ought to be doing, that there ought to be, we ought to delegate that to other people. And I said, yeah, maybe that's how you do things, but that's not how we do things at CA. We have people that fast and pray weekly, individually. There are people that I know that are fasting and praying. And if something comes up, I know I can call them. And I know they're going to be fasting on a certain day, and I know they're going to be praying. We also have fasting and prayer at specific times for the entire congregation. In 2015, about this time of year, we did 21 days of fasting and prayer. Anybody remember that? Have you gained all your weight back? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. So you would think with all that prayer going up, and there's a lot more, but you would think with all that prayer going up that maybe there's been an answer or two over the years. Well, I'm happy to tell you there have been lots. You know, when this church started, we had to pray for places to meet. And God's given us places to meet, and now we have this beautiful place to meet. And then, of course, this came with a mortgage. And so we realized that God wanted us to pay off our mortgage, and we were looking at 18 more years on that mortgage. And we prayed and we asked God to tell us what to do. And do you know we paid off that mortgage in less than 3 years? Stone miracle of God. We're not a wealthy congregation. Miracle of God. We pray for the sick. Elaine Ross is not here this morning. I'll never forget praying for her when she had fourth stage endometrial cancer. Was not ever supposed to be alive, much less have a child. How many other people have been healed How many of you have been healed as a result of prayer? Just raise your hand. Look at that. How many people do we have here at Christian Assembly that have children now that weren't supposed to have children? A bunch. Because God can do anything. Ben was talking when we were praying earlier about the Turkmen. We've been praying for them for years. God showed us an unreached people. We've been praying for them. And look what God has done. There are thousands and thousands of Turkmen believers now. And now God's opened this door for us. He spoke to us prophetically a few years ago, and he said, you need to set some money aside because I'm going to open the door for you to go and minister to the Turkmen. And now we have this open door to go and to teach them about the Holy Spirit. And we've got the money to do it. That's God, I'm telling you. How many other miracles have we had? How many people have been saved? Do you know Kevin Ross alone has led what? I don't know, 30, 40, 50,000 people to the Lord at least? How many people have the rest of us in this church led to the Lord over the years? I'm saying this, we're probably getting close to 100,000 people have gotten saved in 43 years. That's a miracle of God, and it's because we pray. Every time we have an outreach, there are people who are assigned to pray. And we pray with faith, knowing that God always answers us according to his perfect will. In Matthew 21, 22, Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. So these prayers, these are not things we do without God's initiation, without his participation, without his guidance. In all these prayers that we pray, God helps us in ways that we cannot fully understand. Do you fully understand how prayer works? I don't. I just know that it does. In Romans 8:34, it tells us that Jesus is interceding for us. Can you believe that? In Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the next time you are tempted to say, I wish somebody would pray for me, I don't have anybody to pray for me, you just need to know Jesus is praying for you and the Holy Spirit is praying for you at all times. And I think that's pretty effective prayer. The Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. How many of you pray in tongues? Got the gift of tongues and you pray in tongues. We're different, guys. We just are. In 1 Corinthians 14:14-15, it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what am I to do? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. Then it goes on to say, I'll sing with my spirit and sing in my mind also. A lot of people pray. Not many people get answers to their prayers. That's because in Proverbs 15:29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. And that should be comforting for us. CA was born out of the charismatic revival. I'll use that word. In Acts 2:42, what happened was when people started getting born again and they started getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, we began to take a fresh look at the Scriptures. And they saw some things in there that were not being practiced in the church. And in Acts 2:42, it talks about the fellowship of the believers. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Prayers. Is it that simple? Yeah, that's where CA began. That's where we remain. By God's grace, I hope that's how we continue. And God's been really faithful to us over all that time. We talked about that this has been a tough week. The world's experiencing a lot of trials. And we're part of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. It's been a very difficult week. The shootings in Las Vegas, I can't even. And, you know, I think about the way the country turned at 9/11 and how shocking that was. And now the difference between that and this, it's the next move cycle, next news cycle, we just move on. We're becoming numb to that. We better not become numb to that. We need the love of God stirring in us. In Isaiah 26:16, people look at all this stuff, the hurricanes, you know, the floods, the fires, the earthquakes, the shootings. People look at all that and they go, what is going on here? Listen to this, Isaiah 26:16. O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them. After 9/11, we saw the churches filled up to capacity with people coming in. You don't see that on this Sunday morning. Look around. We got empty chairs here. You don't see that now unless you're in Las Vegas today. Because in Las Vegas today, every single Christian church is filled up to overflowing with the people that live there and are going in their distress, coming to God and going, God, help us. I want to read to you out of Hebrews chapter 12. I told you last week that Hebrews was a book of correction for God's people. It's one of those Reformation revival kind of books when God's people get off the beam. This is a good time. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a regular devotional thing that you're doing, go back and read the book of Hebrews. I know it's hard to understand. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Okay, but I want to read to you something out of Hebrews this morning. It's a good time to read it. Speaking of us, you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire in darkness and gloom, and a tempest and the sound of the trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages could be spoken to them. He's talking about the mountain where Moses was. For they could not endure the order that was given, even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you, Church of Jesus Christ, you, Christian, have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of a better word than the blood of Abel. So see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken, the kingdom of God, may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Listen, when everything around us is shaking and people are filled with fear, we need to remember what they did in Acts 4:31. When they prayed, the place that they were gathered together, it was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued in the midst of the shaking to speak the word of God with boldness. When they prayed, did everything that was coming against the church, everything that was coming against God's people, did it just stop? Did God go, oh, no, we're going to stop. No more persecution. Did he do that? No. In the midst of the shaking, they were filled with boldness and speaking the word of God. And you know what? That's CA. That's who we are in these days. As everything is shaking around us, that's who we are. That's our calling. In Luke 21:36, Jesus said this, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of God. In Romans 12:12, it tells us to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. In Ephesians 6, where it talks about us arming ourselves for battle and putting on the full armor of God, the last thing that it says there is pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us to pray without ceasing. Folks, let me just tell you something. Prayer is where we get joy. Prayer is where we keep joy. Prayer is how we persevere. Prayer is how we endure. Prayer is how we are going to overcome. Psalm 32:6 says, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you, God, at a time when you may be found, surely in the rush of great waters. They shall not reach him." So prayer is one of the boundary markers here at CA. It's one of the things that keeps us firmly in God's will. It's where we find our joy. It's where we find our peace. And I'm praying, and I hope that you will too, that CA, in each one of you and all of its members and our whole family together, will remain a praying people. And that we will always do that until the return of the Lord. In Revelation 5:8, it tells us that in heaven, I love this, the golden bowls of the incense in heaven, they're the prayers of the saints. They're the prayers of the saints. So may the aroma of our prayers always rise to the throne of God in heaven and bring him glory. We're a praying people. Let's keep at it. Amen.